It's another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago's Sports Radio 670. The Score from the PNC Studios inside Hallis Hall. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and pleased to be joined, first-time guest here on the radio program, and that would be Bears tight end Zach Miller. And it's a real interesting story, Tom. I don't know if you know this, but Zach Miller was a quarterback at Nebraska Omaha.
Yes, sir.
So I want you to take us through in every little detail how a guy who's playing quarterback at Nebraska Omaha ends up as a tight end here with the Chicago Bears.
We got time for that?
Oh, we got 60 minutes, my friend.
It's a good story. It's definitely worth it.
Okay, so I started off my college career at Nebraska, at the University of Nebraska, and we went through a coaching change there, and I decided to transfer to Nebraska Omaha.
Now, who was the coach there when you got there? Who recruited you?
Frank Solich.
Okay, and then they make the switch.
They make the switch to Bill Callahan, and I stayed there for a year under his regime, and then it just wasn't going to work out for me. So I decided to transfer to Nebraska Omaha, and it's one of the best decisions that I could have made for myself. I was able to be on the field and actually start for 4 years and play, and then it got to probably my junior year midway where we had a really good football team, and I started to gain some interest through, you know, scouts in the NFL. They knew I had an extra year coming, so it started to build. And then as we moved forward, the offense that I was in was kind of more option-oriented. I mean, we ran out of shotgun, so, you know, I was athletic enough where it some people noticed it. And, you know, it took over into my senior year. Now it's starting to build even more. I'm meeting with 3-4 NFL teams every week, and now the thing is, okay, can he play quarterback at this level, or are we going to switch him and see if he can play something else? So I end up finishing out my senior year, and I get invited to the Division II All-Star game, which is no longer around, the Cactus Bowl, and they want me to play tight end. I have never done this before, so I was telling Tom last night, we were at an event, and he's like, how'd you learn how to get into a three-point stance? Well, I learned in a basketball gym like 4 days before I got invited to this bowl game. And our O-line coach is like, you got to do this, you got to do this. I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to work out. And I spent that whole week just getting beat up. I remember the first 9-on-7 session that we did, and I just was in the backfield the entire time. And, I mean, it was new. I was just trying to hold on and be noticed. When I got into the pass game and things like that, I could make plays just because of my athletic ability. And then I started to cross over. Like, midweek, I was getting no interviews. Nobody was talking to me. No scouts are looking at me.
Right.
And
were you discouraged?
I mean, I was kind of wondering, like, what's going on here? Nobody is interested. Because I was making plays in the pass game. Obviously, athletically, I felt good. And then the head coach of my team was like, hey, do you want to play some quarterback too? And I was like, well, yeah. So we put in this little package of.
But why did they make you switch?
They didn't have enough guys. They needed a spot for that position. And maybe there were some scouts that said, hey, maybe we'll give him a look at H-back or whatever it may be in the NFL so we could see, you know, if he could do that. And we go through that week, and then finally, midweek, a guy from the Carolina Panthers is like, hey, are you a quarterback? And I said, yeah. And after that, everybody wanted to line up interviews and kind of figure out what was going on.
Right.
And as soon as that happened, then, you know, I had to explain to them, yeah, I played quarterback. They invited me here to run around and be a tight end, H-back type thing. And then
for people who don't know, you're a big guy and athletic. What were your combine times?
I didn't get invited to the combine.
See, you didn't even get a combine.
I didn't get invited.
All right, so give us. All right, so now back in the day when you were a quarterback, for those of us who know quarterbacks, who were you most like?
Oh, man, probably at that level, I would more say like a Vince Young type because
okay.
I could run. I mean, really? Here's how this thing started. Like during the mid 4 or 5 games early in the year, I'd throw for 250 a game. As soon as that we got to this point, my coach was like, run the option, and I'd throw like 8 attempts a game, but I'd run for 200.
Right.
I mean, I had 51 career rushing touchdowns, so we ran it all over the place. But I go back to that Cactus Bowl game, and here I get this opportunity to just go out and run around athletically on that football field was that was probably the biggest moment for me, because I ended up having like 6 catches for over 100 some yards and 2 touchdowns.
But you had never been in a stance prior to that week leading up. So
I played quarterback since I was like 5.
You know, when I was growing up, our playbook, because we actually had a paper playbook, the first page that we read as an offensive line was coming from a 3-point stance to a 2-point stance, because it's the most important factor in anybody's ability to block out of a stance. Yeah. If you're not comfortable, balanced, deceptive in your own right as to what, not telling the guys what you're doing, you can't play.
Yep. And that's what I struggled with early on, because I was always up on my toes.
Right.
And everybody knew I was going out to run routes. That's just what they saw that.
You know, for us, you know, we're in a stance, you know, what, 50,000 times in our life. And if you go out there and try to compete and you've never been in a stance, it's almost like asking you to go climb a high wire with no skill.
But what does it say about, as a guy who's done it all his life?
That's the key. That's the key to the story is, you know, last night you brought up for the love of the game.
Yeah.
You know, through all the challenges you've been through and the trials, they say, okay, you're not necessarily going to do this, but you hopefully you can do this. That takes a lot out of a person to have belief of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of how I am as a person, how I was kind of brought up. You know, I know bad things happen, but it's the next day. It's the next thing. What can I do to get better in this situation? How can I take this and learn from it? It's just the things that football has taught me, even moving through all these injuries, man, it's just – nobody in my mind, nobody can hold me back. Like, I'm the only thing that's going to hold myself back. I know all these things, they're freak injuries, they happen. My mindset is, as soon as it happens, I get it taken care of and I move forward every step of the way. You set little goals for yourself, you know, throughout the rehab and things like that, and then you get back to a point where you're healthy and get back on the football field, and hopefully you make plays where you're noticed.
The thing that is so striking to me is I always hear, and you guys have both experienced this, when you get hurt as a football player, you're done. The team no longer needs you for that period in time, and now you're on your own. And it is a lonely world as you try to come back. And I want to hit on that when we come back in our next segment, just how you've been able to mentally get past that hurdle each time. Because it's not one time that you've been hurt. Yeah. I mean, there's a big game of operation. If we showed a diagram of all the different body parts that you've had to deal with, and yet to still persevere and find yourself today on a National Football League active roster, to me, that's a remarkable story, and we'll discuss that next with Zach Miller, one of the Bears tight end. This is a tight end rich group now that the Bears have on the roster, and Zach Miller is one of those guys. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screed, and brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 to Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Kyle Long takes on Spice in a game of Madden. Yeah, I know you're interested. Matt Forte helps students get ready for the upcoming school year, and Bears fans race in the Super Bears Shuffle 5K. So should be an action-packed program again Sunday at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority at the PNC Studios here inside Hallis Hall. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by tight end Zach Miller. And we talked about how this guy was a quarterback from the time that he was 5 years old through Nebraska, big-time school, goes to Nebraska, Omaha, not as big of a school, but plays quarterback, running the option, all the things that you want a college quarterback to do, then goes to a Division II All-Star game, and that week they decide, you know what, let's switch him to tight end and see what we have here with an athletic big guy who can run and catch, and the rest gets you to this point, tight end for the Chicago Bears. But after that game, then what happened? How did you end up in the NFL after that point?
Okay, so I tried to get invited. Well, I don't get invited to the combine. So I tried to get into Nebraska's pro day. They wouldn't let me come back.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So I scheduled mine the day after theirs. Theirs was on Wednesday. I think I scheduled mine on the Thursday just because I wanted the scouts to stay there. And then,
so this was just a day for Zach Miller?
Yeah.
No one else was?
I mean, I had a couple other teammates that went through the combo went through those, you know, that pro day with me. But that was kind of, you know, how it was set up. So
how many showed up? Scouts?
Like 25 teams or something like
wow.
that.
Oh, wow.
So which was, like, it was a good, I mean, that's a lot of guys for a Division II school. Mm-hmm. So let me rewind, though. So 2 days before that, Miami doesn't want to stick around for my pro day. So they say, can we do a private workout the day before? So we agreed to it.
Who ran that drill?
George DeLeon, tight end coach, comes in. I look back at him, and it was like, let's take every opportunity that we could do. In hindsight, I probably would have said no, because I went through this, and, you know, I still don't really have a clue of what I'm doing. You know, we get to this thing, and he's putting me through it, and it's old school.
Right.
George is an old school guy, so he's putting me through this old school workout, and I end up hitting a bag, and I hit it wrong, and I blow my thumb out. I tore a ligament in my thumb on my throwing hand.
Oh, man.
And instantly got to go into surgery.
The day before.
I have to have surgery, but so 2 days prior to my pro day, I blow my thumb out on my throwing hand. I mean, I could pull my hand back and touch my wrist. It was gone. And I shake my hand. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, I don't know. My thumb feels a little weird. And I took it out of my glove, and it was just flopped.
Ugh.
So we get done with that, and I call my agent. I'm like, hey, man, we got an issue. I blew my thumb out on my throwing hand. He's like, what? So I go down to the training room, and they have this stuff where they form my hand to a football, because I still want to go through my pro day, and they form a hand to a football, and they put this hard plastic thing on it, melt it down, shape my thumb, and once they take it out of the water, it hardens. So it makes a brace of my hand forming a football. That's how I get through my pro day. We don't tell anybody, because if I tell them, nobody's going to show up. So they show up my pro day morning and say, hey, Zach had an injury, blah, blah, blah. He can't bench. He'll run around, do whatever. Can't really throw. You know, if you want to see him, and they are just fuming mad. I can see the guys just, they're livid. And Mike Tice was a guy who came, and he kind of headed up the whole thing, and he went off on my agent. He kind of went off on me. And I just got, we went through that day, and I couldn't throw, so I ran routes and caught everything. I mean, it was one of those things where I had the good Lord helping me do something, because I caught every single ball with a huge brace on my hand.
Must be killing you every time.
It hurt. It hurt bad.
Do you know much about the history of the tight end position? Because, like I said, what quarterback were you most like that we would all know? Do you know much about the Mike Ditka and the Mackeys and Dave Casper and Kellen Winslow and that whole crew?
No, I don't. I mean, I started, once I got into this, those are guys who I started to kind of look at and kind of try and get the history, but
right.
I didn't know it going into it. Obviously, here, knowing Ditka and,
right.
and those guys, I know a little bit about that, but I wasn't familiar with, other than hearing the name Kellen Winslow and hearing those guys, I knew it, but I didn't know the actual stuff that they had laid through.
So,
you know,
but your quarterback
position.
Skills had to expedite your receiving knowledge.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the line of scrimmage stuff you definitely have to learn as a position, but you probably a little quicker downfield.
My quarterback background helped with the transition so much, because downfield I could see coverages and read things like that. The biggest transition was just the physical part of dealing with guys like that every play. You know, now I'm in a three-point stance, not all the time, early in my career, just because I was not good at it.
Right.
But as I developed, even now I'm getting more comfortable where I'm not a liability in the run game or in protection. I'm not going to say that I'm going to go out and just bruise people. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not that guy, but I can be efficient with technique. So the biggest thing with the transition was just a physical part of the game, because you're in a two-point quarterback stance looking at stuff for rarely,
you know,
getting touched.
Going into the huddle, you're not a quarterback. You're only listening to one catchphrase
exactly.
of what the quarterback is saying. So, you know, old habits die hard. You're probably sitting there saying everything to yourself,
yes.
just like a quarterback would.
That's the thing. Preparation-wise, it's made it, I don't want to say easy, because nothing in this league is easy, but it's just made it a lot better to transition, because I study like a quarterback.
Right.
I know every position. I don't. When we install an offense, I don't just say, okay, I got to know Y and F. I look at it, I know Y, F, Z, X. I know every position just because that's how I see it.
It's how you process the
information. Yeah, that's how I process, because that's how I've processed football for my entire life.
Right. And you got to deal with the offensive line, too, because it may be a pulling guard, a pulling center, an offensive tackle, and you working together, where whatever. You know, it's just not, there's just not one degree of the tight end position.
It makes you a better football player, too, just because if you know the entire concept, you know, where people are going to fit, how the back is going to see this, it makes you a better football player, just understanding leverage and things like that. So if you know the whole concept, it just improves your ability to play.
Right.
So Mike Tice is yelling at you and your agent.
I remember sitting, right where I was at, and he was yelling at me, and then the next question was like, you ever been in a fight? And I was like, I don't know. This kind of sounds like a loaded question. I didn't know if he was like, hey, have you ever been in a fight? Can you transition this to the football field? And I was like, I don't know if I want to.
Is this a challenge?
Yeah.
and the way they've been in a fight, because you got that. All right, let's take a timeout and we'll come back. What was your answer to that question? And then what happened? That's next with Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, from the PNC studio here inside Hallis Hall, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears tight end Zach Miller. Really interesting story. And Tom, as a guy who played the game, yes, there are so many stories about guys that have switched positions throughout their lives in the NFL. I mean, we see it all the time, but very rarely do we see someone who was a quarterback his entire life, all of a sudden, in Division II now, switching to a tight end and never played the position before. Like, you see it at Ohio State. Like, when you watch Braxton Miller, who has now made the transition from quarterback to H-back, you can relate probably better than most.
Yeah.
What do you think of?
Love it.
And then you see that. Now, we have not seen that juke move, that little sidestep, boom, spin move.
I don't know if you're going to see that from me at this point.
But what do you think are the biggest challenges for someone like that, just based on the things that you've had to go through?
I mean, they'll be similar to mine. For him, obviously, athletically, he's very gifted after seeing that spin move. I think as he develops and gets into his route running, he's going to create separation just off of his ability. It's going to be a physical thing. I mean, if they're going to try and get him into that H-back tight end role, that'll be the most biggest challenge is his physical part. If they want to get him in a wide receiver, kind of in the slot type guy, I think he'll be completely fine.
Well, we see Martellus lined up. We see Martellus lined up wide. I think you lined up wide in the game, didn't you?
Yeah.
At the widest of the widest receivers. I like that matchup because if you do have a tight end with athleticism, and we do on this team, that's kind of a matchup I think that Bears fans want to see the Bears capitalize on, is using the skills as the farthest receiver from the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I love it because you get to move all over the place. I just don't want to be laying locked in one position. It's fun for me to line up in the backfield, line up in the slot, split out. And then, schematically, it's helps us. We can get coverages and things like that by placing us all over the football field.
And that's the new trend in the NFL, really throughout football now, is to create that matchup nightmare to have the athletic, the speed-size combination with the tight end. That's why you see a lot of basketball players making the transition when they realize, not everyone's going to the NBA. Yeah. You might have a chance at the NFL. Now, the reason I bring that up is here is why the Mike Tice thing, and for those that missed our last segment, so you have your pro day. You had broken your thumb, but yet you're still going out there and doing the drills. Mike Tice wants to see more. You can't show him more. All of a sudden, he starts yapping at you and your agent. But do you realize Tice, also a big guy at Maryland, before he made the switch to a tight end?
Quarterback. Well,
exactly. Yep. So there's a lot in common there. So he asks you, you ever been in a fight? And what do you say?
I told him, I said, yeah, I've been in a couple. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, so we've had a couple, but nothing crazy, good old country boy skirmishes.
Right. I think it was more of a question because I think there's probably as much physical demands on a tight end because, like I said, you're a tight end, you're an H-back, you're a fullback, you're a special teams player, and I think tight end is changed from online blocking and catching to a collision position.
Yeah.
So it is. Your position is about being a fighter. Mm-hmm. I think the glamour of it is maybe overblown because of a Jimmy Graham or something, but the actual play-by-play results you have to have is a lot more physical attachment to it.
Definitely, and I think that's kind of what the question was about. I think he just wanted to know. He probably could have cared less if I'd ever been in a fight, but I think he wanted to know if I was willing.
Right.
If I wasn't scared.
Well, they
scared.
Should have known that after you breaking your thumb and showing up.
But they didn't know he broke his thumb at the time.
They wouldn't have came if I had told them. So
you had to keep it. So then let's fast forward. So from that day, that pro day, how did you end up in the NFL?
The Jaguars, where Coach Tice was at, ended up drafting me in the sixth round.
And then you get an opportunity, and then that second phase of obstacles that you have to overcome, the injury started.
Yeah, so we go we'll go to 2010 or 2011, because my first 2 years were fairly productive as a rookie, changing positions, you know, going through that transition. I had, I think, 25 catches or 28 catches my rookie year, and 25 or 6 again my second. And then we got into my third year, week 6, and blew my shoulder out. I had a 270-degree tear on my labrum. Tried to play through it. I sat a week and then played two more, and it just I wasn't effective. I tried to fight through it, and you know, we did stuff to try and help me, but I couldn't get, you know, through it, to the point where I wasn't going to help the team anymore. Right. You know, I was hurting us if I was going to be on the football field.
Were you wearing a harness and everything? Yeah, and trying to keep your arm in place. You're really only half a blocker.
And so it was something where we had to shut it down. I ended up having season-ending surgery, and then go to 2012, and I'm having one of the best training camps of my career, you know, of my short career now. So I'm in my fourth year. I'm feeling comfortable through the transition, and we get to our week 3 preseason game. And partially tear my Achilles and tore 95% of the muscle in my calf. Ugh. So we shut that down. And at this point, that organization had, you know, a lot. You know, they believed in me. I had proven to them that I belonged and that I could make this transition. And they kept me on opening day roster. We were going to Minnesota that week 1. And the general manager, Gene Smith, called him and said, "Hey, Zach, I need 3 healthy tight ends. I got to injury waive you." As you go through this process, he's like, "You're going to revert back to our IR. So you're going to be with us. You're stay with us all year long. And then we'll try and get another deal done before the season's over." So I stuck around in Jacksonville, hung out with them. And then unfortunately for, you know, him and that regime, they ended up getting fired at the end of the year. So I moved on. Ended up signing a 1-year deal with Tampa. Which, for me, I think I probably jumped the deal on signing that because I had some other teams that I could have went with, and it was just a poor decision on my part. And that really didn't work out too well. I ended up getting banged up in camp with a minor concussion and shoulder thing, but it was nothing to me. And I got injury waived and was out of football for that year. And then I get Phil Emery took a chance on me last year, offered me to come up, do a workout. You know, throughout this process, throughout that year, 2013, I stayed in shape, worked out, and was just hoping to get a call. But you get a guy who's been dinged up 2 years, out again, you know, there wasn't a lot of interest.
So how do you keep yourself going when you know that that could have been it? You might have never gotten that call from Phil Emery to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, I know guys that haven't got that call. So for me, you know, I understand how much weight it carried. I know how lucky I am to get that call, but I was telling these guys last night, I got a lot of good people around me. Business-wise, I moved, you know, in a different direction and hired a new agent, so who I'm still with now, who's been great in guidance and leadership in that part of my career. But as far as, like, getting through that every day, I got a great family, wife and kids that support me through everything. So it wasn't hard. I was at home spending time with them. All I had to do was stay in shape and just – wait for that moment, because I know once I'm healthy, I know that I can play football. I know I belong. I know that I can make plays and produce. It was just I had to get my body right and just keep sticking with it, stay through it. There was never a question of I'm not going to play again. It was just when am I going to play
again? How do you get the things repetitiously done that you're not that familiar with, like being in a stance, coming out of stance, getting a certain type of route thrown to you repeatedly? Because those are the, you know, for offensive lineman gets hurt, we go and live in a weight room and we waddle on a treadmill and we jog around. For you, there's a lot of other skills that have to be refined in order for you to stay competitive.
So if I had like a lower extremity, like with my foot last year, I couldn't run. I still caught footballs.
Okay.
You know, one, I had a routine where I'd catch one-handers each hand and then over-the-shoulder stuff where that's when I was immobile and couldn't move. And then as soon as you start building through that, even if I was running them at 30%, jogging them, barely, just because the muscle memory that even right. if it's slow, I'm still doing it. And then you just build your way through it. I'm a workout freak, so in my off seasons, I'm grinding.
Right.
So those are things that I've done just throughout my career.
All right, we've got so much more to talk about with Bears tight end Zach Miller. Another time out when we come back, we'll hit on how this whole thing with the Bears materialized. That's next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our guest here on Bears All Access is Bears tight end Zach Miller. Zach Sabin alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer with you, and it's time now to decide on the player of the week. Brought to you by Sports Authority. We go back to that Green Bay game. I could give you a whole bunch of choices if you want, but the reality is there's one man who deserves the Sports Authority Player of the Week award. Zach, who do you...
Number 22. Mariani.
Yeah, it's not Mark Mariani. It's not Robbie Gould, and we single him out because Robbie Gould did a terrific yes. job becoming the all-time Bears field goal made kicker ever. I mean, think about that. The history of the Bears, there have been a lot of field goals in this organization. No one's had more than Robbie Gould, but... I mean, Matt Forte looked like the Matt Forte that we haven't seen in 2-3 years because you know what?
But
they used him like a running back.
All right, let me tell you something. He is just great at his position. And everybody, Matt is respected around the NFL as much as any player in the NFL. Think what Kyle Long did in 4 days' notice against one of the better teams schematically in the NFL that puts up a lot of different fronts and is extremely confusing. The terminology that he's computing in his head and putting into use in full speed time at a realistic game, he's got 4 days preparation. You're completely different balance, completely different stance. You're working with a different guy to your right than you ever have before because now you have a different guard into your left. So to me, I pull for Kyle Long.
He's going for this.
Wow,
he's throwing out his O-line, guys.
So if you were
dig it.
For people that I mean, I can't argue with that because it really is amazing. You know, I spoke to Kyle Long before the game, and he said literally 1 week of prep time.
I know, I've been there
to mentally put it, and then he said that the best advice he got was from his dad, the Hall of Famer Howie Long, who just told him, even if the whole world is falling apart around you, don't stop competing. And he never did, even though there were some times
right.
where, you know, in pass protection, where I know it wasn't what he wanted it to be. He also said that he spent countless hours watching Walter Jones, the former Seahawk Hall of Famer
right.
at the tackle position. He said that helped him out a lot.
Right, but then you got to go out there and do it. Then you got to be able to barely hear a snap count out of your left ear when the crowd is loud and be able to get out of your stance and efficiently go about your business. Again, with football players, that they are doing the same job that they've been able to do for years. That's what they do second nature. That's why Matt is great. But again, when you change in that short amount of time, it's just an argument for
that's fine.
My
I mean,
guys.
We it's nice to single out some of the other contributors. I still have to give because it's a production business,
yeah.
right? And no one produced more than Matt Forte. And the frustrating thing is, you know, you had all those trips to the red zone against the Packers,
yeah.
and the opportunities were there to score.
Yeah, that was a thing that, you know, when we came out of that game, we weren't happy about how we produced in the red zone. And we know, you know, when we get down there, we had to put in the end zone, get 7 instead of 3.
But it's just about corrected mistakes.
Yeah.
It's not about the scheme was a failure. It was about there were plays that were mishandled that, you know, again, and I'm not picking on Matt because I love Matt. You know, the one pass that he's in the red zone that he drops,
yeah.
He would have fell back into the end zone for a touchdown. But now you got 3 more plays that you can be critical of rather than having a touchdown
yeah.
that play. So, that's the thing that I've heard a lot of guys say. It's about the corrections you make to week 2, not about, you know, not about what you were attempting week 1.
I like how guys have taken ownership of all the different things that they had to fix. We talked to Jay Cutler
yeah.
right after the game, and Cutler said, hey, it's on me. The passing game wasn't what it needed to be in that second half.
I mean, that's Jay being Jay. It's everybody. We got to be better for him. You know, we got to be better – protect better, run better routes. It's a whole – I mean, this is the ultimate team game. So him standing up and being our leader, taking it all on him, that's just the type of guy that he is. But we just got to be better.
You know, one thing about Jay is he is great at the podium because he's lived through some difficult times here
Definitely
and some
has.
Good times. And you really need someone that it can go to the podium and kind of give an explanation.
Yeah.
And if he has to accept – you know, different occurrences on the field, he's willing to do that. But yep. after you go back and you watch the tape and you have all those guys in the room, everybody in that room has some type of a responsibility from kickoff return to defense to offense yep. to every other special team.
And that's what makes me laugh when people start talking about Cutler's body language, the things that really don't affect a football game. And you don't realize that by him basically standing up there and taking the hits, that's him being a leader. Sometimes you don't have to, you know, there's certain guys that you see them yelling at teammates and trying to egg them on in a good way, and you think, oh, that's a leader. But there are other ways to yeah. lead a football team.
I mean, at this point, at this stage, there's a lot of guys don't like the rah-rah leadership. Not saying it's bad, but it's just some of it, a lot of guys don't like that. They don't need it. You know, in my mind, I kind of know how to lead myself. I don't need to be, you know, if I see something or someone needs to pick me up, then that can happen. But I think for Jay, seeing him, I've seen him grow in the short 2 years that I've been here. He's at a position where he's either going to be the savior of every game or it's all going to fall on his shoulders, just position-wise. That's how the quarterback position is in the NFL, in my opinion. But I think he's grown so much in kind of his communication, the leadership with us in the locker room, things that you guys don't get to see. That I witness from him every day, and I think it's great.
But, you know, you probably – you know it as well as Jay, because your time as a quarterback, did you talk more in terms of encouragement to the different guys on the team than you do as a tight end?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk to Martellus and you talk to the rest of the guys in your crew, but you're not giving encouragement to everybody that yeah. you have to, the responsibility you had as a college quarterback.
Definitely.
As opposed to now.
When I was at that position in college, you know, I could speak to everybody and kind of bring us all together. Now my position is more, you know, as my group, like you said, or a couple of younger guys who, you know, I may have built a communication with or whatever.
You're telling me that in a room that includes Martellus Bennett, there's an opportunity for you to speak.
Me and Marty have a great relationship. You know, he's a guy where he wants to be helped. He'll be say, hey, you know, if you see me doing this, let me know. And I'm the same way with him. If he sees me doing something where, I mean, it's minor because we both want to be great. You know, he wants to be so good that he wants every minor detailed out. So he's like, hey, if my arms aren't pumping, let me know. If I'm not doing this, let me know. If my eyes aren't correct. He's awesome to be in a room.
You know,
with.
We talked about it last night is how much Pernell McPhee has upgraded the tight end position because the way you guys had to go out and approach practice every day in training camp. But there were times that after you guys would get done with a 9-on-7 or a 1-on-1 period that Martellus would walk over to Pernell and talk specifically about what do you see on me that you can help and tell me. And I think it's important for you guys to have that dialogue with defensive players.
Cross-coaching. I mean, cross-teaching. So now, I've never really had that early in my career where, you know, wherever else I was. But for some reason this year, it's okay to go.
If you don't pick the mind of Jared yeah. Allen, you're not being a bright football player
exactly.
because he's already seen it.
See, that
yeah,
to me.
So that's the thing where we've grown is, I mean, as an entire football team is you see Marty go over to talk to Pernell. I've been in Lamar's ear, Jared's ear, all those guys, even – Antrell Roll, these guys who safeties and things that I'm running routes against. How did you know I was going to break so soon? Or what did you see? Now we're cross teaching and helping each other.
A lot
out.
Of different body styles at the outside linebacker position on this team.
Yes.
When you look at from Willie Young to Lamar to Pernell to Jared to Sam Acho, a lot of body differences
yeah.
there.
They improve us as a group.
The tight end room is very interesting because you got Martellus Bennett, who everyone sees publicly. He's the face of the mm-hmm. room. Then there's you. You're kind of quiet, but you do your talking behind closed doors. And then there's a new guy in that room who might be the biggest comedian of them all. We'll explain next right here on Bears All Access with our guest Zach Miller on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's game is brought to you by Cancer Treatment Centers of America in suburban Chicago. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears rally towel courtesy of CTCA. We are with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority inside the PNC studio inside Hallis Hall. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. We've been talking a lot about just the personal obstacles that you've had to overcome and now a little bit about the football team. And you mentioned how Martellus Bennett has this never-ending desire to be great and is not afraid to ask other people how to do it and where his weaknesses are, self-scouting, all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting. There, late in camp, there was a guy the Bears added to the mix by the name of Kari Lee, a trade made with the Houston Texans. And anyone who saw Hard Knocks knows that this guy had a, Tom, I kid you not, I don't know if you saw it, drop-dead imitation of Bill O'Brien. And you figure, in the world has a Bill O'Brien imitation? The head coach of the Texans. This guy did it, you know, in front of the cameras, in front of the entire team.
Stone face completely.
Right, and did not, I think the thing that impressed J.J. Watt while watching it is that while the whole room is dying of laughter, he never broke character.
Right.
So the question I have for you is, has he come up with a John Fox imitation?
He hasn't yet. We asked him, and he's like, I'm going to need to hang around. Because right when he got here, everybody's like, hey, you got your Foxy impersonation down
right, because everyone's got one.
That's why he got cut. He's not going to do it again.
He didn't get cut. He got traded. It's an honor.
So he's like, I need to hang around a little more to kind of, you know, pick up his mannerisms and see how he is. But we're waiting on one.
You know what's weird about Hard Knocks is that's the first time I ever got to see Martellus Bennett. And I didn't like him from Hard Knocks because I don't think people know how hard it is to get up at 100 degrees and go through your first training camp and whether you're homesick or it's hard to learn. And then when I got to meet Martellus Bennett when he became a Chicago Bear, you really get to understand his personality. Yeah. And he's a walking tangent.
Yeah.
He wants to talk about something else other than what you're talking about, and then it leads to another subject. And that's the same thing when you see the new tight end. And Hard Knocks, do you like it as a player? Do you even get a chance to see it?
I don't get to watch very much of it just because of the time that it's on. You know, I'm fully focused on football. As far as if it was ever to come here, I probably wouldn't like it. I just don't want to deal with the distractions and things like that. Now, I mean, would it be fun to be on TV and create like a little persona where you can be, you know what I mean? You can be a different person on TV. You can be whatever you want for the camera.
But you got to end up being good.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
That's been done here in the past. In a different kind of way by certain people. You never know. I mean, it just kind of happens. Yeah. But so who has the best John Fox imitation?
I haven't even seen any. You know who's got a really great imitation of someone? Kyle Long has an awesome
Dave Magazu?
Yeah. Mags.
Yes.
The offensive line
coach.
It is
phenomenal.
Because he's got that thick Boston accent.
Yeah.
And Kyle's got it down. I think because Kyle's dad is from New England. So
that's a good
one. You know, it's the same thing with my offensive line coach here, Dick Stanfeld, who just passed away. He was an awesome football coach. And he did have a voice and a mannerism that you sit so long in meetings with these guys and you hear every tone that's expressed from them approval or disappointment or whatever. So it's funny when you listen to Kyle, you know, kind of emulate this style, but you hear it enough.
I had one of your teammates tell me, I'm not going to mention the guy by name, but I had one of your teammates tell me that there's a certain defensive lineman who's got a very good John Fox imitation.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to get the guy
just
in trouble.
Just give us a number. We will know.
I'll put it this way. He is there aren't many defensive linemen in that room.
We can narrow this down.
I mean, I don't want to do that, but I'll let everyone else figure it out.
I'll find out.
By the way, score with Wendy's and the Chicago Bears. You could win Chicago Bears tickets, Chicago Bears gear, or discounts on Wendy's food. Mm. Pick up a scratch and win card at participating Wendy's restaurants, and you'll be a winner. Play today while scratch and win cards last. Quantities are limited. I want to talk a little bit about the whole culture change here, because it's not just the coaching staff that's changed and the professionalism that's been brought in, but also the way you guys train, which I think for you has been crucial just based on all the things you've had to deal with. How has that affected making you a player who was able to get through the offseason training camp, the preseason games, and get yourself healthy for this time of the year?
Are you talking strength and conditioning wise?
Yes.
It just takes off all the load that you take on your joints. You know, you're loading up and doing all the Olympic lifts that, you know, some of the other teams are exposed to. You don't have that pounding every single day. Now we can supplement it with different stuff. They're just, you know, from the top down, we got nutrition now. We have a recovery room. I mean, they've went beyond anything that you could think of to take care of your body collectively. So now I'm not a professional weightlifter, and in some situations, in some programs, that's what you kind of train like. I need to train to be on the field on Sunday, and that's kind of what we do here, and it's been great for me thus far. So, you know, they got the body feeling great.
You know what I think? I think in the NFL, the hydration program is as important as weightlifting nowadays, because if you're going to maximize your muscle potential, it's about making sure you're hydrated. And, you know, one of the messages I think young moms and dads need for high school kids, it's not about buying your kid a 40-ounce Gatorade the afternoon of the game. It's about starting your process on Tuesday, Wednesday, when you know you're going to have a hot game on Friday night or even Sunday for you guys. And, you know, that's one of the great things about how much emphasis they are and making sure that you maximize your potential.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's everything from your hydration, what you're putting in your body. You know, the Jen, our nutritionist, makes these little juice and vegetable shots that we take before and after that are helping with inflammation and things like that. I mean, we have so much resources that we can use that, you know, you don't have anywhere else. I feel like right now, for us as an organization, as a football team, we have top-notch facility for weightlifting, strength and conditioning, nutrition, athletic trainers, and we have so much stuff that we can utilize to keep us fresh for Sunday. As this thing goes on, I think we're going
to
be in a good position.
I bet you most rookies, this is the best opportunity in their life to eat three meals a day that's constructed for them for their future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't, for them, they don't understand it. You
right.
know? For me going into year seven, I've seen it and I've lived it. They don't know how good we have it right,
right.
now. I mean, they don't understand. I'm telling you guys, it's top notch at every single level.
Yeah, and it's not like this at a lot of other places around the National Football League. Let's take a break when we come back. So there's been a lot of talk outside of the building about, you know, give the Bears a big pat on the back for playing hard against Green Bay and keeping it competitive. But I heard some stuff in the locker room. I don't think that's the same attitude that you guys have. We'll discuss next with Bears tight end Zach Miller. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Got the 85 Bear Tom Thayer here. I'm Zach Zabin. Zach Miller, the Bears tight end with us, who actually got to play a real regular season game after all that rehab the last couple of years to get back on the field. What was that like?
That was awesome. You know, just to go through all that stuff. Brad Briggs came up and told me, he's like, hey, you know it's been 1,429 days since you last played in a regular season game? No, I didn't know that.
But it probably felt longer than
Man. So we get, you know, for me to come out of that tunnel, be announced as a starter, it was just an unbelievable feeling. All the emotions that, you know, you all the stuff that accumulated at that point, man, I couldn't have been any happier. I was on cloud nine.
You know, go watch the highlight of Matt Forte's two-yard touchdown run. And look at a couple seconds after Matt's in the end zone. He gets hit from behind by somebody so hard that Matt turns around to see who it is. It's Zach Miller. And I was watching the tape, and I had to run it back and get the different angles to make sure I knew who, you know, gave that whiplash pat on the back. But, again, that's the excitement of getting a team into the end zone.
Yeah.
And I think that just shows you how much you appreciate every touchdown.
Well, that's why all that work that you put in is for moments like that. Yep. That's why you play. You know, that's why you spend all that time doing the rehab.
This game, there's nothing like this game. And to do it with your teammates, and when you get in the end zone, you get to celebrate like that. The feelings are undescribable.
So, again, the rest of the city, kind of happy that you guys kept it close against the Packers for a while, led at halftime and all that kind of stuff. But there is, I checked just to double check and make sure. You know, when you look at the standing, there's a W, there's an L, there's a T. There's no M for moral victory.
No, we don't even like T's. Nobody likes those.
So when you hear people kind of giving you kudos for keeping it close, is that insulting to a certain degree?
That doesn't matter to us. We're about winning. You know, that's what we want to do. You know, there's no moral victories, like you said. You don't get a, nowadays they're handing out ribbons and stuff to kids that get a, hey, good job, you did well,
participated.
Someone just took their ribbon away from their kid. I forget who it was.
It was James Harrison, the linebacker from Pittsburgh, took his two trophies away.
Yeah,
here's returned them.
We got to win, and there's no greater feeling than when you win on Sunday. I mean, you get in that locker room with your teammates and your family, There's nothing like it. So that's what we're about.
That's a great way to finish off the hour. Great stuff. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. The Bears tight end, Zach Miller. Better luck this week against the Arizona Cardinals, and hopefully you end up picking that real W, not the moral victory.
Ain't about luck.
No.
That's true. You prepare to win, and it shouldn't be about luck on Sunday. Yes, Zach, thank you. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Greg Miller, our executive producer, and Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.